Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. On the broadcast today, Bruce Breslow with Nevada Strategies. He's the former head of the Department of Business and Industry for the state of Nevada, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. 40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the state capitol in the old Supreme Court, and delighted to welcome Bruce Breslow back to the program. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Good to see you, Sam.
Your company is Nevada Strategies, but prior to this, you were the mayor of Sparks. You headed up nuclear waste for the state of Nevada. You were the head of business and industry, head of DMV, and you ended your, at least government career, working as
but
a
commissioner. But I wasn't really the head of nuclear waste.
Well.
I ran an office that tried to stop the nuclear waste from coming here.
So let's start there, because over the weekend there was a meeting between our two senators and Rick Perry, talking about this waste that's being held at the test site. And I understand why our senators are fighting it and our politicians continue to fight it. But isn't the safest place for nuclear waste to be on the test site where we had above ground and below ground nuclear tests?
Yes and no. It's one of the best sites in the country. There's others, but there was language, federal law passed, so no one's allowed to store it in granite. Well, that protected a lot of the East Coast states from having to deal with it. Then there was other states that didn't want it. The big thing with Nevada is the transportation of the waste. The plan from the Department of Energy goes right through Clark County. It goes right on the Ring Road, and it comes on the rail line right by the Bellagio and all the other big, you know, strip properties. And there is no, the Department of Energy never even offered to build a separate road or a separate rail line out to the desert or any of those things. In fact, they actually came out and said they would not put a dime into infrastructure improvements. So couple that with, they had offered, this is, I don't know, 30 years ago, they offered the state about $10 million in exchange for giving up, you know, on that. And the state, first of all, that wouldn't cover the cost of escorting shipments, but the state just said, you know, we don't really want it here. We don't produce nuclear energy in Nevada. Why do we want the waste from all of these other states trucked through America, through all these towns, through all this rail, to be brought here to be buried? And then they came up with kind of a far-fetched plan to make it safe. They admitted that the canisters would leak over time because of the groundwater seeping in and it would be corrosive. So they came up with this thing where they were going to put in, you know, thousands of titanium drip shields, which used up about a third of the world's supply in a year. But they weren't going to do that until all of the waste was buried down in tunnels and covered for 100 years. Then they were going to go back and try to use robots to put in these drip shields. It was just kind of farcical. So bottom line is Nevada doesn't want everybody else's garbage. That's really what it comes down to.
If we were serious at actually making any kind of negotiation with the federal government, Central Nevada would love to see a rail line coming from Caliente over to Nye County, because that would open up economic development and that would absolve the problem of trucking through Clark County, for example, or through northern Nevada. But the other side of the couple of other sides of the coin here. One is that if you go from Hurlong in northeastern California down to Hawthorne, there is all kinds of horrible stuff that is traveling on the freeway.
Those aren't just little hills that are naturally
occurring. Holy moly, there is a lot of stuff going on.
Well, that's the World War II and future wars that we had. The weapons are buried there, the bombs and things. So.
But we don't talk about that.
There's a submarine testing site in the middle of Hawthorne.
So we don't talk about any of those things. We don't talk about Roger Trounday's days at the EPA in the state, where he went down to Beatty with Geiger counters because people were going into the low-level waste dump and stealing wood and building their porches and parts of their houses with nuclear waste encrusted wood. The other part of it is, now, you and I have been friends for a long, long time, 40-plus years, and I have great respect for you in all the things that you've done, but you're not a scientist. We don't put people who are scientists in the position that you were in, for example, and people from who are in favor of nuclear power and nuclear energy say it's one of the cleanest fuels that there is, would help tremendously with global pollution in terms of fighting it. And yet we never hear from that side in this debate.
Well, I would tend to disagree on that we don't hear from the other sides, because the state of Nevada has a lot of scientists hired to defend the state of Nevada on this. The way they went about it and the solution they proposed was ludicrous. And there are a lot of people that started trying to push it about 15 years ago again, saying, oh, we're going to get all of the, you know, billions of dollars are going to flow into Nevada. There's not one dime, not 10 cents that's supposed to come to Nevada if this waste came here. In fact, some waste did make its way here.
All right. Well, a couple of other quick things here, and then we can move on to other issues. One was during the time when Yucca Mountain was being built, there were two accounts for Nye County that put millions of dollars into Nye County that they were able to use for other things. And there was also millions of dollars that went to UNLV for research. So we actually were getting quite a bit of money that we no longer get.
Not the state. A county traded with the Department of Energy, and there were some programs the Department of Energy paid for at UNLV. That is correct. However, the Office of Nuclear Waste, which is part of the governor's office, follows the policy set by the legislature and the governor, and the policy is keep it out of Nevada.
So the federal government still has control of the test site, though, and it would seem to me, now I understand
the federal government controls, what, 95% of all the land in Nevada, so
it's not quite that much, but yes, close. It's a huge amount. But you know, why would when we know that politicians are the worst leakers on the planet, why would you let politicians know that nuclear waste was coming to the state when you know that the first people they would call would be the media?
Well, the first people they would call would be the hazmat folks and all of the people that ride with the trucks, escort the trucks, because, you know, one accident, just one accident with a truck or rail that exposes high-level nuclear waste. We're not talking about low-level waste for the dump.
But it's glass enclosed, right? It's pellets.
It's pellets that will kill you if you touch them. Do you remember the farcical ads that came out about 30 years ago where they had a guy dressed up, a TV anchorman in a white scientist smock holding up a fake pellet saying, look, I can hold it. That'd kill you and a lot of people around you. So it just takes one accident and you can't put any people there for thousands of years. I mean, it's high stakes. There's been, you know, I was part of the group that worked with the President's Blue Ribbon Commission on Nuclear Waste. And the commission came up with the conclusion is, one, don't force the site on a state that doesn't want it. Find a willing state, and there are some, and work with them. So that seems to have changed since that decision was made. Their science will catch up. Technology will catch up. So where there's a way to destroy the waste instead of burying it. You bury it and seal it and say it has to be safe for 100,000 years. We don't have any language on our planet that's 5,000 years old that anybody can read. How are we going to have a sign that says, don't dig this up? Because what happens when you discover new things? You start digging it up. So it's not that easy, and I firmly believe that science will find an alternative technology to be able to destroy nuclear waste rather than just bury it on the ground.
All right, let's take a break. More with Bruce Breslow when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Kenneth! Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bruce Breslow. He heads up Nevada Strategies. So at this point in the session, we've got 3 weeks and a bit to go before sine die, unless there's a special session. A lot of things that the Democrats ran on, including the governor, mm-hmm. are stacking up and are looking kind of shaky, especially as the fact that we don't have a big chunk of money coming in because of what the Economic Forum reported. So where are we at this point in this session?
Well, the Economic Forum did what the Republicans couldn't do. It put a finite number on what the state can spend. So if you make, I know the governor, you know, you prioritize things. So he prioritized teachers' raises through a 3% increase. He prioritized collective bargaining for state employees. He prioritized various things, and now you have to do the math. The most valuable player in the governor's office is the budget director, and the budget director is being told, find the money, how are you going to do it? So what we've seen are budget closings of all the state agencies, and they're still going on this week. Once that's done, and we've heard policy bills, and this Friday is the last day that they have to pass the second house or they die. So the decision on whether to move a bill is made by leadership of the majority, and they decide what bills they're going to put forward and come out, what are they going to have a hearing on, what are they going to have a work session on and vote out, and what are they going to let die. And that's always happened. It's leadership. You know, I guess if you had a split legislature, they'd actually have to talk to each other, but right. If you don't, it's the majority leadership. So they'll decide what policy bills pass. Then after Friday's deadline, you have a whole new set of bills that are going to start coming out. Those are the budget bills, and that's any bill that affects the budget and how. And so it's all math, and what can we afford as a state? What can't we afford? And if we can't afford this and still want it, what are we going to cut to get there? And that's what it comes down to is math. I know, you know, state employees got cut about up with furloughs and cuts about 10%, and they got that back. Teachers have not. You know, teachers have not had a raise in many, many years. And if you get a master's degree and you start teaching in Nevada and they're going to pay you $41,000 a year versus another field, teaching is way low on the totem pole, especially with the administrative headaches that are now thrust on teachers to have to survive with. So I think it's going to be for the governor's office and the legislature, what are the top priorities that they want to pass and how can they afford it?
Okay, so let's talk about teachers' raises. Right now, both major school districts are saying, we don't have the money to pay these raises, so you can put them through. Certainly, Ruben Murillo was on the program from the teachers' union. And he was saying the second year is not funded and that rural schools are going to take a hit here. If the governor doesn't come through with this priority, it would seem shocking to me.
It seems like it would politically be the number one easiest sell. Give teachers a raise. The teachers would obviously like it, but the average person in Nevada, Republican, Democrat, every other party that's out there, they understand that teachers are underpaid in Nevada. It's an honorable profession, but you don't want to go bankrupt. And in Washoe County, you can't afford to rent an apartment at $40,000 a year right now. In Clark County, you can, but it's still pretty close. So it's very difficult to afford to be a teacher. So it's going to be a priority thing. And if, you know, there are other parts of the state, corrections, for example, that, you know, they didn't have radios for years. They couldn't communicate with each other. Their phone system was dead. Then they ran out of beds, and they had to put people in gyms to sleep. Well, that's against federal law, so then we had to pay to put prisoners in other states, which is cheaper than expanding, prisons here. And, you know, there's other parts of the state where there's still growth, and you have to fund it. Unfortunately, fortunately for some, I guess, but Health and Human Service dominates the state budget of the $8 billion. So between that and education, there's very little left for the rest of the state government. And as long as Medicaid keeps growing and all of the social programs keep growing, you have to keep putting more money there. And if there's no new revenue coming in, it squeezes everything else down.
And bottom line here is that it seems to me that this is going to be a heck of a fight here at the end of the session over the teachers' raises, because right now one of the main unions in Clark County is threatening to put on a legal strike. They voted 70%+ to go on strike.
I read about that, and the comment that struck me was they're hearing that there will be a pay raise for teachers, but they're saying it's going to come from cuts in education elsewhere to pay for it. And that's what they're at least to the media, they're expressing that if there's cuts to the education budget overall, they'll go on strike. And I don't know how that works. If it's against the law to strike, and you strike anyway, do you arrest the teachers that are supposed to teach kids?
You can look at other states around the country that have been in exactly the same boat, and those unions have come out.
The unions won.
Yep.
And every time.
Okay, I'm going to hold you over. Let's stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bruce Breslow. He heads up Nevada Strategies. You have some thoughts on the open meeting law and how it applies to state government.
Well, it applies to all of the agencies in state government. It applies to city governments, local governments, county governments. But the people who passed the law that said everything must be open exempted themselves from the open meeting law. And I always thought that was almost comical, that the Nevada legislature could insist on an open meeting law for everybody but say, but not us. It doesn't really matter for us. So, you know, the last week of the legislature, sometimes 2 weeks, historically, they actually suspend the rules. So instead of even having hearings and discussions, they can go to the back of the assembly chambers or the Senate chambers and gather as a group on the floor where there's nobody around and decide what's going to pass, what doesn't pass, things like that. So our system, which is designed for this openness, when it really comes down to it, it doesn't really have it.
No, to say the least. Term limits and this current legislature, who's actually in power here?
Leadership's in power. Whoever is in the leadership of the majority, they make the decisions on what bills live or die. And the committee chairs decide if they're going to hear something or keep it in their drawer. That's who's in power in the legislature, and that's never changed, whether it be, you know, term limits or not.
Okay, but
historical knowledge is, you know, gone, disappearing, things like that with term limits. But there's some people here, I'm thinking, haven't you been here for 15, 20 years already? So I haven't really noticed the same names going away very often.
Well, what they do is they moved houses, so they could serve 12 years in one house, and people who in the past would graduate from the Assembly to the Senate have now started out in the Senate, and now because of term limits are back in
and
the Assembly.
And then county commissioner at the end of that.
Yes, exactly.
City council.
Yes. We need to have a longer discussion with Sig Rogich about his plan here. The governor also obviously has tremendous power, and the lobbyists have tremendous power because they, along with LCB, have all the institutional knowledge.
They do, but I still think, once again, the most powerful person in the state right now is the budget director. And whatever money they can find, they can pass. If you can't find the money, they can't do anything unless they're going to start with some new taxes.
And I don't think you're going to see any new taxes. There's certainly been no discussion of that in this session beyond extending taxes. Oh, by the way, LCB decision that you don't need a two-thirds majority to extend the taxes. That's just going to go to the courts, and that's probably going to be a special session.
It will. I was shocked by that because the one thing you can usually count on are the Legislative Council Bureau attorneys to follow the law of the state. But over the years, you've seen some opinions when somebody wanted to do something that seemed like, all right, well, those people are in charge, so now there's an opinion that lets them do something. This is one of those times. So if you have a law that says, you know, you need a supermajority if you're going to raise taxes and you have an opinion that says all of a sudden, that doesn't really count. There'll be a court fight.
You know, I remember when Kenny Guim was governor, that we extended the deadline for the session by 1 hour because we were in daylight savings time.
Yes.
And so we could extend the time of the session till 1 o'clock in the morning.
That was one of the more famous decisions of the Legislative Council Bureau.
So it'll be interesting. It's an interesting day with new leadership at the legislature, certainly on the Democratic side, a new governor. Well, do you think, okay, just a yes or no, special session?
I hope not. That's not a yes or no.
All right, that's where we got to leave it. Bruce Breslau, thanks. You for being here, sir.
Good seeing you.
Always. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Now you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.